Scripture reading this afternoon is found in the Gospel according to John. We read John chapter 10. The first 30 verses. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That part we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Before we turn to the catechism, we read from Scripture, John 10, verse 16. One of the references that the catechism uses in its explanation of Lord's Day 21. John 10, verse 16, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Then let's open our psalters to the Heidelberg Catechism and read the first question and answer of Lord's Day 21. We'll treat just that first question, question and answer 54. Continuing the treatment of the Apostles' Creed, "What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? That the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are two beautiful truths that we confess when we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed, and when we use the words of that article, "I believe in Holy Catholic Church." The first truth is that Jesus Christ infallibly saves his church. And then the second truth is that, and that each of us says for ourselves, "I am and forever shall remain a living member of that church." Jesus Christ does everything that has to be done in order to save his church. He purchased salvation for his church. He purchased salvation with his precious blood. He purchased that salvation for those whom God elected in eternity. And not only does he purchase our salvation, he also applies that salvation through the work of his Spirit. That being true, salvation is not ultimately up to me or up to you to accomplish. If salvation were up to us, we would have no comfort in this world. Then it might be, if salvation were up to my work and my strength, it might be that tomorrow we lose the salvation that we have today. We might be God's children most of our lives and then suddenly meet with some great temptation and then fall away. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ gathers and defends and preserves his church. Salvation is his work. And of course, there are those in the Church Institute who never were members of Christ's mystical body. They might have been raised in the church. They might have joined the church for some other reason. But they never believed themselves to be sinners in dire need of a Savior. They never called upon Christ for forgiveness and looked to his sacrifice for them. And they never were thankful because they never experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. There are those in the Church Institute, but they were not true members of the Church of Jesus Christ. But when we belong to Christ, we will hear his voice. He will hold us in His hand, and He will never let anyone snatch us away from Him. That's the comfort of belonging to the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks of that church in John chapter 10, and He calls the church the flock. He refers to the church as a flock of sheep who belong to the Good Shepherd. That the church is a specific group of people who were given to Christ before the world began is evident from what Jesus says in verse 29 of that chapter. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. My Father, which gave those sheep to me. Well, when did that happen? It happened in eternity. But secondly, we belong to Him because the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. That's why we belong to the Good Shepherd. And then in the third place, the Good Shepherd brings us into the fold. Not only does He give His life for us, but He brings us together into the fold. That was the verse that we read, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then wonderfully Jesus teaches that all those sheep who have been elected, who were purchased by His death on the cross, who have been gathered into the church, no one will snatch even one of those sheep away from Jesus Christ. And that's verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's essentially the truth summarized in this question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Good Shepherd gathers, defends, and preserves a holy Catholic Church. So let's consider that question and answer then under the theme, believing a holy Catholic Church. Let's first note the idea of the Church. Secondly, the source of the Church. Why is there a Church? Where does it come from? And then lastly, the comfort of believing a holy Catholic Church. Believing a holy Catholic Church. Maybe it seems like a small point, but when we confess, I believe an holy Catholic Church, we do not say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Roman Catholics say that. And to say, I believe in a Holy Catholic Church is to say, I place my trust in the Church. In the past, some had so little understanding of the faith that if you asked a Roman Catholic what they believed, they would simply answer, whatever the church believes. And that is called an implicit faith. I believe whatever the church believes. Well, what does the church believe? Whatever I believe. But they don't have a knowledge of what they actually believe. But an implicit faith says, as long as you believe that the church holds the truth, as long as you trust in the church, then you are saved. It doesn't matter how much you actually know. An implicit faith doesn't put its trust in God because it doesn't know God. An implicit faith trusts the church. We do not confess, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Not even in Protestant Reformed churches. We don't say, I believe in Protestant Reformed churches. The church, after all, is part of the creation, part of the created order, and we should never put our trust in creatures. Psalm 146, verse 2, the psalmist expresses that we must not trust in creaturely things. We must not trust in princes, he says. We must trust in God. And that's our confession. When we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Ghost. And then our confession will be, when we believe in God, I believe a Holy Catholic Church. And that means two things. That means, in the first place, a Holy Catholic Church exists. I believe a Holy Catholic Church exists, and I believe it has certain qualities about it. It is holy and Catholic. So in the first place, we believe that a church exists. A church exists. Maybe some of you are familiar with the Scottish word for church, a kirk. And if you go back to the original, where that word actually came from, it comes from the Greek word kuriakos. And that's this, the church, the kirk, is that which belongs to the Lord. That's the meaning of the original Greek term, that which belongs to the Lord. That's what the church is. The church is not certainly not a building. The church is not even a group of people gathering together. The church are those who belong to the Lord. A community of people, no, not just a community of people, a community of people who belong to the Lord. Jesus refers to this community when he talks about the sheepfold. John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus talks about that sheepfold. The sheepfold is the court where the sheep are gathered together, where the sheep are defended and preserved by the shepherd. And then, speaking of the shepherd, Jesus describes himself in verse 4 of John 10. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They belong to the good shepherd. The church is the sheepfold of Christ, where he cares for them. He goes before his sheep, and they follow him. What an appropriate figure. We meet with this in other places of Scripture as well. But to speak of the church as the sheep, because sheep in ourselves, we are defenseless. Sheep cannot do without the care of a loving shepherd, and that's the church. All we, that's the other truth of us being sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But then the beautiful truth of the gospel is that the shepherd, the good shepherd, took upon himself the iniquity of all his sheep and made us his precious possession. We belong to the Lord. The church, then, is the gathering of those who belong to the Lord, who in ourselves are helpless, who could never do without the constant care of the Good Shepherd. The church could never exist If not for the good shepherd, there might be a building, there might be a gathering of people who come together that call themselves a church, but the true church could never exist if not for the good shepherd. The church is a particular group of people who belong to him in a special way. Later on in the chapter, Jesus talks to the Pharisees. What's striking is that here he's speaking to the leaders in the church of that day, and he tells them they don't belong. They don't belong to his sheepfold. Listen to what he says in verse 26. He says, I'll read verse 25 as well. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. They didn't belong to the true church of Jesus Christ, though they were leaders in the church of that day. The true church is composed of Christ's sheep who know his voice and who believe in him and follow him. Despite all appearances throughout history, there were times when it seemed there was no church. In Israel during the days of Elijah, it seemed like there was no church. Elijah thought he was the last one who believed in God. Despite all appearances, the church has always existed. The true church has always existed. There may be times it's not so evident, but it is always there because of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Our confession in the first place is then that a church exists. Those who belong to the Lord. But furthermore, our confession is a confession, I believe there is only one church. I believe a holy Catholic church. It's not a confession that there are many churches. There is only one church. There is only one shepherd, and there's only one sheepfold. That's the verse we read, verse 16. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Certainly we talk about individual churches, and that's proper. The word church is used that way in the New Testament in the sense that it refers to individual congregations. When Paul writes to Philemon, he greets Philemon and he greets the church, which was in his house. That was a specific gathering of the church. But what we ought to understand, beloved, is that all these individual congregations where God's people gather, they are but one small portion of the one church. All of God's people in all of the world, wherever they are, take them all together, and they are a portion, they are God's one church. So too, Protestant Reformed churches are but one small portion of the one church of Jesus Christ. There's one fold and one shepherd. If someone hears the voice of the same shepherd and follows that same shepherd that we follow, then it must be they are part of the same fold. That applies even, beloved, to those of other denominations. We might not have very much fellowship with them because we disagree on important doctrines, and yet we ought still to see them, if they follow the same shepherd, then our goal must be to show them the truth of the Good Shepherd, that we might manifest the unity that is ours in Christ, because there is only one fold. We believe there is one true church of Jesus Christ, found wherever his sheep follow his voice. Wherever his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Not only do we confess one church, that that church exists, but we also confess that she is Catholic in nature. Of course, when we say we believe a Catholic church, we're not talking about a Roman Catholic church. The word Catholic simply means universal. We believe there is a universal church. In one sense, the church is universal because God has been gathering the church from the very beginning of time all the way to the end of time. It's universal in that way, spread throughout every age in history. In Jesus' day, the church had largely been confined to Israel, but he says, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. He was talking about the fact that his church would not only come from the Jewish nation, as was largely the case in the Old Testament, but now he had other sheep, also from the Gentiles, from every nation under the sun. He would gather his church. What that indicates is that there is one church in all ages. The church of the Old Testament is the same church as the church in the New Testament. The church in the nation of Israel, God's people back then, were saved by the same precious blood that was poured out on the cross as we are saved by. Those people in the Old Testament looked forward to the shedding of that blood, but we, in faith, look back on the shedding of that blood, but it's the same blood. There's one shepherd and one church. We might think that's not so important to stress that the church is one in the Old and New Testaments, but if you split the church into two, you run into all kinds of theological problems. One of those is the problem of viewing covenant children. If we say, well, they circumcised their children in the Old Testament, but that was the Old Testament. They received the covenant sign in the Old Testament, but now we're in the New Testament church. If we split them apart, then we fail to see that God commands to give the covenant sign to children in the Old Testament, and he has never revoked that command to the church. So we see the church as one. The church is Catholic. Throughout every age, God has been gathering his church, but Catholic especially refers to the fact that God gathers his church from every tribe and tongue and nation. What a wonderful thing, beloved, to see the saints gathered from every nation. There is no room for racism in the church of Jesus Christ. There shall be one fold. That's the truth of Scripture. Revelation 5, verse 9, the saints sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The church is not bound to one nationality. The church is Catholic. That should encourage us too, beloved, to think of the Catholic Church We sometimes get stuck thinking only about ourselves, but we ought to remember the church in persecution. There are God's people. Maybe they don't believe exactly the same as we do, but if they follow the shepherd, we ought to consider them and consider their plight. There are God's people who are being persecuted in other lands. Maybe we don't hear about it very much. That's not surprising because the media is not enamored with the Church of Jesus Christ. But there are God's people who are suffering in other lands. The church is Catholic. And then lastly, not only do we confess one Church of Jesus Christ, that it exists and that it is Catholic, we also confess that it is holy. And Jesus refers to this characteristic as well. Holiness, you see, is in the first place being devoted to the service of God, set apart to serve God. Well, notice what Christ says about his sheep. In John 10, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow Christ. They are devoted to the Good Shepherd. They want to obey the Good Shepherd because of his grace towards them. The sheep follow. The sheep are holy. Are we, beloved, following the Good Shepherd? Does that show itself in our lives? Does it show itself in the workplace? Does it show itself in our marriages? Does it show itself in the church? That we are devoted to the Good Shepherd? That's a work of his grace in our hearts. But in the second place, holiness not only refers to being devoted to Christ, it means also that we are separate from the world. And Jesus refers also to that separation immediately after verse 4, where he talks about the sheep following him. He says in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's part of the holiness of the flock as well. Are we following after strangers, after strange doctrines, after the things of this world that draw us away from the Good Shepherd? Those things should make us feel uncomfortable. Are we drawing closer to the world, or are we turning away from it? A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. Why will they not follow a stranger? Because of the work of the Good Shepherd in their hearts. And so we come to speak of the source of this holy Catholic Church. Why does the Church exist? Why is it holy? Why is it Catholic? Only because of the Good Shepherd. If Christ Jesus were not the author of the Church, there is no way there would be one holy Catholic Church. The Church is a work of Christ in every way. He gathers the church. He calls the church by his powerful voice through his Spirit. He calls us out of spiritual darkness into his light. And then we understand spiritual things. We understand that we are sinners liable to his judgment, who deserve to be cast into the torments of hell. We understand that about ourselves. But then he also causes us to understand that there is salvation in the Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep. And he works in our hearts, the Good Shepherd does, so that we see the gratitude that we owe to him for all that he has done for us. He gathers his church by a powerful and irresistible call. That's not saying, when we talk about that irresistible call, that's not saying he drags us against our wills. I've heard that said. That he drags us kicking and screaming all the way to heaven. He does not do that. He makes us willing to follow the shepherd. He changes our will so that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Powerful, irresistible call. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The same Son of God who calls also defends and preserves his church. It would be one thing for him to call us into the fold and then not to guard us and we might fall away. That's not what happens. When he calls us, he also defends and preserves. That's basically two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, Christ defends us from our enemies. He defends us against the devil. He defends us against the temptations of the world. He defends us against our own sinful flesh. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It is absolutely impossible, beloved, that even the mightiest of enemies could separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. He defends us, and he also preserves us to himself. He takes us into communion with himself, and he keeps us in that communion so that we can never fall away. He gives us all that we need for our salvation. Does that mean that we will never have any difficulties in our lives, that everything is all easy? No, there are sheep who wander, but the Good Shepherd goes after his sheep. And he draws us back to himself again. In the first place, we learn that the Son of God then gathers the church. He defends and preserves. How does he do that? By his Spirit and Word. He gathers us by presenting the truth of God's Word through the preaching of his Word. And then he applies that Word by his Holy Spirit. Convinces us, this is the truth. He gathers us. And he defends and preserves us by that same word, applying it to our hearts so that it speaks to us. That shows, does it not, beloved, how important it is to make use of the means of grace? God uses the preaching of his word to gather and defend and preserve his sheep. The sheep want to be under the preaching of the word. Because that way they hear the voice of the shepherd. Though the shepherd speaks through a vessel of clay. Why does the shepherd gather, defend, and preserve a church to himself because he has chosen us to everlasting life. The Good Shepherd looked upon us, unworthy creatures, and loved us in eternity. And he gives us that life. Everlasting life. We have the beginning right now in this life. We have the beginning of everlasting life. And in heaven we will enjoy the perfection of that life. God's purpose to give that life to his people, to gather a church for himself, God's purpose is called his election. He has chosen a people for himself. That's John 10:29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And then we can ask the question, why would God choose us? Why would God choose this one and not that one? Was it, beloved, that God saw, this was the teaching of the Arminians, God looked ahead in time and he saw that some would believe. And so, knowing to himself, they will believe, okay, I will choose them. That's not how God's election works. God decided in eternity to set his love on unworthy creatures of the dust so that we would believe, not because he saw something in us. Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to their good works. That's not what it says. According to the good pleasure of his will. And then, beloved, we may step back and ask the question, why me? Why did he choose me? Why has God been so good to me when I am such an unworthy sinner? Out of sheer mercy. There's not an explanation in ourselves. That's what we confess when we say, I believe a holy Catholic church. When our confession is more than just a confession of facts, when our confession involves ourselves, then we know the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. Notice how the Catechism puts it. We confess for ourselves that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. I am a member of this holy Catholic Church, and I will always remain a member because of Jesus Christ. That the Church is holy is due to him. That the Church is Catholic is due to him. I am and forever shall remain a living member. That's due to him. The fact that we are members of the church, then, beloved, of this true church of Jesus Christ, means we belong to the Lord. The fact that we are members of the church means we cannot simply come and go as we please. We do not belong to ourselves. The question we should always ask ourselves is, what does the Good Shepherd want? His we are. His voice we must hear. We are members of the Holy Catholic Church of Christ. Amazing that God would make us members of Christ's church, and that He will never let us go. Not even one can snatch us from His hands. Jesus emphasizes that, and that is fitting for the sheep too, because the sheep would be snatched if it were just a regular, ordinary person, or if it were up to the sheep. They would be torn apart by the wolves. But Jesus says, "My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." That's our comfort, beloved. Though the sheep do wander, the shepherd comes after them. The shepherd, the good shepherd, works from start to finish to accomplish our salvation. And our confidence is that He will save His entire body. Not one member, not one sheep will go lost. Then no matter what trials we face, we have the comfort that we belong to Him, body and soul, in life and in death. By God's grace, that confession is ours, beloved. I believe, and Holy Catholic Church of Jesus Christ. And I am, and forever shall remain, a member thereof. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us and making us members of that Holy Catholic Church of Jesus Christ. Grant us, we pray, that we might know this, that we might be assured that we are members of this church, and that we might then give ourselves, following the Good Shepherd wherever He leads, hearing His voice, and seeking Thy honor and glory. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and lead and guide us, we pray, all the days of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.